is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron for December, Jesus Christ, 5th, 2012. I guess that's that time, isn't it, J.D.?
Yep.
So, this is the holiday season.
Whatever holiday you celebrate, enjoy it.
Whatever real or made-up holidays you celebrate.
Or you don't celebrate.
Yes, if you don't have a good month, come on.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
And if I don't say Merry Christmas, don't take offense. Just, you know, don't take offense. Someone is wishing you a good day. Don't pick
yes,
phones.
Exactly right. See, you know, I'm going to tell you what it's about right now. So, people out there, especially young little kids, need Transformers.
Yes, they do.
They need Transformers bad.
They need Bumblebees.
They need Bumblebees. They need Optimus Primes. They need
Heatwave, too.
Yes, they need anything like that. That, you know, is like just sitting out there on the shelf. You know, who cares if it helps clear off shelf space? If you go out and, you know, buy them, you're still doing a good thing. So, actually, I'm forcibly segueing into Operation Beehive because we haven't mentioned it recently. I'm going to give a drop dead date of 2 weeks from today, 12/19. So if you can get in, you know, as many purchases of, you know, doesn't really even have to be a shelf warmer, but it does. It has to be a shelf warmer.
Preferably a shelf warmer. I mean, that's the point. I mean, it's sort of, it's that perfect combination of altruism and selfishness.
Yes, it's what makes America great.
But it's like you're doing something good for somebody else, but you're really doing something good for you, too.
Yeah, so, no, but the whole point, you know, I really don't care what you're getting for someone to give away to, like, Toys for Tots or to, like, a group home or to whatever, you know, goodwill cause that you have, as long as you are honestly giving it away. You know, don't just buy it. You know, like, Kim bought me Sergeant Cup. I'm not going to count that toward, you know, Operation Beehive because that's for me.
Right.
Honestly. But, you know, if you buy it to give away, you know, go to our Facebook page, post the receipt there, shoot us an email at contact@tfradio.net. Just let us know. I'm going to put, I hope this is a low ceiling, but I'm still going to say, $500. $500 is our target. And my cat.
$500. That's pretty fair.
Yeah, that's fair. And
if
you're wrestling, my cat Buddy is like crawling up in the box that I got from Amazon.com yesterday. The box contained a book and two dog collars, and basically the dog collars could be rolled up into a padded envelope, but the box is big enough for a clown corpse, and he's crawled up in it right now, so it's adorable. But yeah, so it's a good cause. $500. We'll do something cool if we hit that goal. I know Rob Springer is going to do something cool too on RTM, one on YouTube. So, with all of that said, this is the Transformers podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. You know, that's basically now a tradition on the show as we go off on a wild tangent before we start the show. That's the 2012 edition to RFC, the 2013.
The end of the world edition.
The world according to RFC.
Edition, not edition. That's the
edition.
Yeah,
edition.
That's the edition. So the 2013 edition will probably be JD strip teasing. But
no one wants to see that.
So with me this week, Lady Wreck, Amy Morgan is back.
Yay.
Live on the
Hello.
Show. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's at least once a month. It's been a month since I've been on. So
it's been a while. Are you going to participate by chance in Operation Beehive?
You betcha. I will go. I will go and I will buy a couple toys to yeah, sure.
What do you recommend as far as like a toys charity? Toys for Tots is probably the most common one. That's the one pretty much everyone has access to.
I haven't looked into the charity. I usually just buy something at Walmart and stick it in the Walmart bin or whatever, because I figured that's probably the most easiest one.
That works. That's a great idea. Most retailers do that. Rob, what were you going to say?
Nothing. I was just agreeing.
Oh, great. Rob Clay is here. As always, our steadfast warrior, Rob Clay. Hey, Rob.
Hi.
I won't say any of the mean things I was just thinking.
And J.D. Church. So if I'm in a punchy mood, it's because I've been fighting my freaking computer for the last hour. Hey, J.D.
It's that guy that doesn't like Machine Wars.
Wait, you don't like Machine Wars? But you sent me a Prowl.
Why do you think I sent it to you?
We'll get into that later. We'll do that later. So if you're watching us on video, you'll notice that the video is a little off. The primary computer that I do the show in is not working at the moment, so I've reverted to the laptop, which is pretty.
You bought a laptop.
I've had a laptop. It was my birthday present. So which is primarily for show related, is intended for roving shows, or if I'm doing a con or something, but not for normally the live show each week. And Amy's chasing her son around the table. That is awesome. But yeah, wow. If you're watching the video, you're seeing that. If you're listening to the show, you're like, what are these crazy
nobody
people talking about?
Services.
Yeah. So if you're watching, you'll notice that things are aligned a little differently this week. You can watch us on your TV. If you didn't know that, we mentioned it last week, but just a reminder, subscribe to us on YouTube. Most set-top boxes, like the Xbox, the Wii, the Wii U, the PS3, they all have YouTube, and you can watch us there. JD uses TiVo. I use Roku. There's lots of cool ways. Apple TV.
I was using my PS3 yesterday, and you can do the thing where you can have a device and, basically tell it, no, I want to play it on the PS3, and then it'll send it over, and you can link them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great, because sometimes it's hard to search on the on-screen menu with the remote when you've got A, R.
Yeah. Yeah, so Xbox does that. It's called Smart Glass. That's Apple TV is, it's AirPlay. And, Roku doesn't have anything like that. You have to use the crappy little remote control, which is right here. Otherwise, it's great. I love my Roku. I haven't hooked my new one up, but this is the one I showed off last week. It's pretty tiny. This is just the Roku HD. My primary Roku is a Roku 2 XS, but great little thing. I thought when I got my first Roku, I opened it up out of the package, and I thought that it was like a paperweight miniature Roku, and I kept looking for the real Roku in the box. It's kind of funny.
Is that the remote? Don't worry, Amy. We told everybody not to call child services because we saw you chasing your kids around.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. No, they were great. And then all of a sudden we start recording and they get so loud that I can't even talk because I'm like, I'm going to be on mute the whole time. Thank you. I bet I had to go corral them real quick.
There again, why I'm not having children.
Yeah.
It's homework time now. They just got finished eating. It was great for a few minutes because they were eating.
You know what? That's what. See, you just got to slip a little bit of whiskey in their dinner, and then they'll be good.
Yeah, that might have worked back in my grandparents' day, but not today.
No, it works today, too. I don't know what you're talking about.
Just don't tell children
what it says. A little bit of vodka in their orange juice. It'll be nap time.
Oh, Giga Beetle will be saying that JD ruined RFC soon. No, Brian.
This is also probably why I don't have children.
No, Brian pre-ruined RFC this week. No XV, if you notice. There's no XV. I feel sad. No John either. John's at work. XV is probably off watching some Toku show.
Probably.
Hey, let's go ahead and jump to the news, because this is a podcast about something.
Yeah. If you say so.
So this week we got photos of the Transformers Prime, ARMS, Micron, Cyberverse, Autobot and Decepticon SP2 Easy Collection. I think those look pretty cool. So JD, you're the expert when it comes to the ARMS, Micron stuff. I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing, the Easy Collection size. I'm seeing, the Legend-sized figures, but those aren't those aren't like Microns, are they? Those just look like Cyberverse figures, right?
Yeah, those are just Cyberverse.
What? So are these? Does this include known Arms Microns that like you already have, or is this new stuff?
I don't even. I mean, this is new to me. I didn't see this the other day, but that doesn't look like Arms Micron at all. Okay, I mean, I don't see where.
I'm not seeing any place where it says Arms Micron on the packaging.
So. I don't read Japanese.
I read.
I think it's just the Cyberverse. I think it's just the Easy Collector, which is what they call the Cyberverse.
Yeah.
It would be weird to have Cyberverse and Easy, you know, Arms Micron and Easy Collector.
I think that would be great to go together. I mean, because of the size, one thing is
go together. Not at all. Absolutely no sense.
No. You have. They're not. I mean, they're roughly the same size.
I get why you're saying that because they're the same size, but it doesn't make sense in terms of playability.
It's
because
Takara.
They don't interact.
It's
but Takara is still pretty. They're not that bad in terms of. I mean, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, now that I'm looking at the photos, just in the box, I'm not seeing it at all. I'm seeing the Easy collection stuff, which I love because, of course, usually it's a chance to get like a new color on one of those molds that I already like. It's how I got a Thundercracker before, you know, Hasbro did it. But yeah, I'm not seeing anything Arms Micron in that.
Yeah, I don't know why it says Arms Micron.
Maybe it's just a misreport. Darn it!
Yeah, Arms Micron has got to be a misprint because there are no Arms Microns there.
You know, if they really wanted that stuff to sell, like to import, they would just throw Arms Micron on it anyway.
Or at least like put an Arms Micron in it, maybe.
Yeah.
But it had to be an exclusive one.
Oh.
So, like exclusive color or something, and then I would be like, damn it.
So, but what is, though, an Arms Micron, though, would be the, I can't throw up the video because of my computer, sadly, would be the Arms Micron and the
capsule set.
The capsule set, yeah. And that's just stuff we've already gotten, isn't it? In a different color?
For the most part... I don't think it's like half and half. I mean, I think it's half and half because I don't think we've got the, I think that's what the Bumblebee we've got. I don't know about the Wheeljack and RC version. I think that's RC. Yeah. From the Autobot side. And I don't know that we've seen, I don't know on the other ones. I know that the snake and I have the snake and the gecko. I'm not sure about the Megatron and the Megatron. I think is out.
I don't have a single Arms Micron. So
they're great.
I know you said so.
The capsules are not as great. I mean, they're cool, but they're not the same as like the actual Arms Microns that come like with the figures. Those are the ones that you really want. The capsules are cool and all, but they're meant to be standalone, whereas the others are meant to kind of interconnect and combine and make larger weapons and all of that. So the real fun stuff is in the ones that come with the figures, not the capsule sets.
Yeah,
the capsule sets are cool too, and they're cheap.
Yeah, on the actual video version that goes out, we'll have video there. So if you're watching this not live, magically that was there.
Yeah.
So...
use the power of imagination.
And Adobe, Premiere. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Adobe. I have to use Premiere at work, too. I hate it at work, but I love it at home. So strange. Hey, so you're the snake, follow Cybertron, and Mega... Why is it called follow Cybertron? Is it because he looks like a Mega Supreme? He was in War for Cybertron, though, wasn't he? Or was he in? Is he in Fall as well?
I think he's just in War. I don't remember him being in Fall off the top of my head.
I have Fall. I just haven't opened the shrink wrap yet.
No. Omega Supreme in the game, no, he wasn't.
Yeah. But he was definitely in War for Cybertron. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Big part.
It's a shared exclusive. I'm assuming the shared exclusive is Amazon and Big Bad Toy Store. It's $100, and it looks amazing. And I want it. Pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's rough. Because I have that figure, but it's in the Energon colors. And I really like that colors, and I really like that hand.
Man, yeah, it's remolded. And it's so.
And the head and the hand are nice.
Color's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want that. Also, something we haven't talked about in a while, it's coming for release soon, the United Art Fire, the Million Publishing exclusive figure. We have new images of that from the package, and it looks awesome. I
can't believe this isn't out yet. We've been talking about it for so long.
Months ago. It looks really nice. It looks better than I thought it would look.
We knew it was coming out before BotCon last year, so...
Oh, really? Has it been that
long? Yeah, it's been since then, yeah.
Man.
But they have gotten such mileage out of that mold.
Oh, yeah. Especially considering it's part of, like, what I would consider to be not, you know, some of the lesser generations figures, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's true. It's not one of the better ones, but it's been incredibly versatile. I mean, yep. It showed up at least once in a BotCon set.
For the GT set.
Yeah, they haven't reused that one, though, I don't think. Off the top of my head, I don't think they've reused it. They should.
They probably might.
They actually, who knows, especially this year, considering the theme. So, I haven't gotten it yet. My wife's grandparents have a... have one at home for her to pick up tomorrow. But if you got a newspaper on Sunday, there was a coupon for a free Creon microchange figure. I don't honestly know the details. Did anybody get one of those?
Okay. It's not in all papers because I checked two local papers and I didn't get it. But from what I have heard is that if you have it, it will be in the Smart Source coupon section on like the inside back page.
Is it one of the blind packs, or do we know what it is?
Yeah, one of the blind packs.
Well, that's
and also
trying to get rid of those.
$5 off one of the larger sets. I forget which
you
one.
Can get with pretty much any of the other.
Yeah,
which a lot of different figures have that $5 off.
I already have those figures, but heck, I'll take another Sunstorm.
Well, they are about to release a new assortment, so. Maybe if we're lucky, that'll overlap with the coupon.
Oh, that's a good idea. I need to look at the details. Hopefully, her paper will have that. We'll find out.
Let me know because I have not actually heard what papers didn't. All I can tell you is that the Washington Post and Baltimore Sun did not.
So basically, if you haven't checked, go dumpster diving and see if you can find those. That would be good. So. And I didn't know about this. If you guys did, pardon me. There's a Transformers Prime, Chinese New Year, Optimus Prime, and Gaia Unicron exclusive 2-pack. It looks like that's coming out, of course, in Asia. You guys know that was coming?
No.
No.
Oh.
You know, for some reason, I just haven't been excited about that Unicron. And this doesn't entice me.
Shards Ocron.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really make me want it anymore.
No, the combination is not fascinating. And I don't know. It's kind of a gimmicky combination more than anything. I wouldn't say it's a very, awesome one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sad. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to comic news and Rescue Bots this week. So, Amy, tell us just real quick about what you're going to talk about in comic news and Rescue Bots.
Well, and I address some of the news that comes out, and one of them is the IDW Limited options that they have for Transformers that are available now, and they're going really fast, according to what I'm seeing on Twitter. And then I also review Regeneration 186, which is also out today. So if you haven't gotten it, then you might want to fast forward for 10 minutes or just don't listen to it because I might spoil something. I don't know. And then also on Rescue Bots, we cover the episode Reign of Morocco, which is part two of last week's where we talked about the other doctor. So, yeah.
Cool.
Good times.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump to that and we'll be back right after this.
It's now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Hello, it is Amy, and I am back once again with a Transformers News and Reviews in 5 minutes. Out this week, there's one comic, and there's not a lot of news, so I'm just going to be really brief about them. I was following Trevor Hutchinson on Twitter, and he tweeted that he had gotten married. So congratulations to Trevor Hutchinson. He's the dude that did this cover right here. All of these ones that were like this. Yeah. I'm really, he lives in Australia and he's married. So congratulations, Hutch. Woohoo. Also out recently, another Twitter awesomeness. I was following Emiliano Santa Lucia, and he has tweeted about the Transformers pop-up book that he helped create. And he also blogged about it too. So you can check out the Transformers pop-up book. If you've got any kids out there that like pop-up books, there you go. You got Transformers themed one now. Simon's blog has a little teaser about Regeneration 1 issue number 86. If you haven't read it, you can go there and be teased. IDW Limited is putting out a new special collection, basically, of this issue of their volume number 1. Now, I've just been looking online about it. It's a nice white cover that has this illustration right here on it. It's supposed to have like silver writing on it, a couple other little things. And it's also going to have like a really nice fancy slip cover. Some of them actually have ones that you can lay it down in and it closes over top. It's like a little portfolio type of thing. And some of them actually is going to have special art within them that are drawn from different people like Alex Milne and Casey Collar and EJ Sue. And they're also supposed to have about 6 different creators or whatnot that have helped create the comics also signed these copies as well. So if you are one of those individuals that can't get out to a convention and you want to have something that's signed, that's personalized, that's even maybe really unique, according to some of the artists that I've actually talked with already, they said that every single cover will be different and unique. So what you see on the IDW Limited website is not going to be exactly what you're going to get, but you're going to get something similar to it. If you can't make it to a convention and you want to have something that's comic related, that is from one of these collections, you can get it by going to IDW Limited, and they're not cheap. They're going to cost you, but you're going to be able to get 6 different people to sign it already, and it'll be a nice, pretty cover. Only 10 of them will be made. There's different packages. Some will have an art piece from one artist as opposed to another. They will have one that's just standard that does not come with art, and I think they've got like, I want to say 127 of those that are just being made, and those ones will just have the signatures in them. So I'm very tempted, especially if they start coming out with one that has something from this. I will be really tempted at that point. Definitely look at these. Check them out. They are. For somebody who's not going to be able to attend a comic convention, I see how it could be a very good idea. For anybody like myself who gets, I go to conventions at least one or two of them a year. So far for the last 2 years, it's been 2 per year. For me, it doesn't seem like the right thing for me. But for others, it might be perfect. If you're not one of those people that gets a chance to go to conventions and you love this stuff and you want something that's special and unique and just for you, this is the way to go. I would highly recommend it for that. So good luck with that. And that's pretty much the news. I know it's like really, really bad. It's like I'm trying to pull news from anywhere that I can possibly find it. And it's like nowhere. Yeah, let's just go straight to the review. This week for review is Regeneration 1, issue number 86, written by Simon Furman, art by Andrew Wildman, and colors by Jean-Paul Beauvais. We pick up with Grimlock and what he's been doing on Nebulos, and after a short recap of previous story and what the effects of Nucleon are for some, we find Grimlock as Scorponok's prisoner, as he's been captured in the previous issue. And he's got a proposition for Grimlock. Join him and do what he asks, and not only will he cure him, but he'll make it so that he can transform again. Very tempting. Then we get more of Hot Rod's conflict, what's going on with him on Cybertron. Not only with himself, but with Soundwave, who's trying to free Thunderwing. Does he escape? In the aftermath of the last issue, we also get a few moments with Prime. And the humans are ready to kick them off the planet pronto, now that certain individuals are no longer in play. Will Grimlock give in? Even after torture? Is he that awesome? Are there any active Decepticons on Earth ready to cause more grief once they've left? You never know. And what is Scorponok's ultimate goal? You'll have to read this issue. Okay, so last month was explosive, and I have a little beef with this issue based off of... Now we've gotten our first arc. Yeah. Okay, so a character was revealed last month that should have had their reveal this issue. It would have been a good build up to this moment. Last issue was all about Prime and the smackdown that he gave. I'm not going to say what, because a few people might have not read it that don't want to be spoiled yet. And yeah, I just, yeah. Anyhow. It would have been great if that certain character would have had his reveal in this issue. It would have worked better. It would have made this issue much stronger. Just my opinion, of course. I'm just a little bit of constructive criticism to kind of shoot at it is that. And, you know, of course, and the threads that they've kept on hitting on in previous issues also kind of didn't need to be hit on in previous issues if they were going to hit on them so well here. Because they did finally hit on all of them this issue. I mean, I know it was they're trying to build up and keep, oh, look, we're going to keep attention here, keep attention here, but it kind of drug the other one down, and this one would have really, really been great to have that extra in there, that little pop and bazinga. So the pacing was a little frustrating in that. That being said, if I just look at this as a single issue, it's not a bad standalone. I care pretty fast about Grimlock and the predicament that he's in. The conflict for him is that he's in between a rock and a hard place. He obviously wants to make amends with the other Dinobots and with the Autobots who have been affected by Nucleon. And then to be placed in the position that he's in, it's just the selling point for me of this issue. It was very strong because of that. And the only thing that brings it down is that last page again. It's just like, no! Which I wish they had, like I said, just had put possibly, even if they were going to do that, maybe put it in a little bit of a different spot than to put it at the last page. I mean, maybe if they'd stuck it right in the middle after maybe page 14, instead of before the whole end of Grimlock's part of the story, it would have been perfect for me. But yeah, Scorponok, his character was brilliant. Great. I really, really loved him. He was that bad guy that didn't say, this is my proof of how I'm a bad guy. He's like, no, actually he was just bad guy and he didn't have to prove it. He just did it. You know, it seemed like it was flawless. So Scorponok, 2 thumbs up. Yeah. And this issue will definitely have a 3 out of 5 Energon goodies. Booyah. Totally loving it. Can't wait for next issue to find out what happens between Grimlock and Scorponok. So we'll see. Yay. So that is my review for today. That's all the news that I've got. Again, got some good stuff coming out. Don't forget to check out the Facebook page, and you can find more information about different Transformers things there. And of course, they always have comic commentaries there. The last one I think I went and looked at was Rage of the Dinobots, which is also out, which I also need to review, and I haven't done that yet. So yeah, I will soon. And with that, that's it for me and the comic news and reviews in 5 minutes. Have a good one. We'll see you next week. Blue Team patrols for bugs and stasis. He's laid on a walk in the strangest of places. Earth was their home, now and in addition, Optimus Prime gave them this mission. Learn from the human servant. We are back to review part 2 of the Rescue Butch short review of Morocco. I am Amy.
I'm Nick. Hi.
And last week was the other doctor. So this week, I say week, we're actually, you know, cutting it into two. If you notice, we haven't changed our clothes.
Oh, you gave it away, Amy. Our secret's out.
Awesome. Okay. So this week is part 2, Transformers Rescue Bots, titled The Reign of Morocco. This episode aired. Morocco. I keep doing that. It's just, you know.
Just like the adventure.
Yeah. Morocco. Okay, so it aired back to back. This was the second episode, and it aired May 19th of 2012. It pretty much starts right where we left off. So the beginning of this is pretty much, we get a quick advertisement of how Morocco. Morocco came to get the job, you know, just in case you didn't see the first episode, you know, it was, even though it was back to backs, but okay. The guts of the show. The Morbot is now the savior of Griffin Rock. Does he have the ability to save humans and not injure them? Well, we'll see. Meanwhile, the bots are looking for new jobs. Even Heatwave, who's trying to contact Optimus Prime for a reassignment. Aw, poor Heatwave.
That was one of my favorite parts of probably the series, because Heatwave wants to be under Optimus Prime, and you're just like, he's a good leader himself, you know, but he just wants something more, you know.
He keeps trying to position himself like, please, you know, if there's a position, mm-hmm. I would totally like to take it.
Exactly.
But then the other guys also, you know, look for new jobs too. We got Boulder, mm-hmm. who's doing the art vibe. We've got you know, Blade's new job of being a couch potato.
That's a job I want, man.
And then we have Chase, who experiments in cooking. But he should really stay in the experimental stage. And the kids gather a little bit of evidence, but they give it to Chief Burns, and it's really kind of not enough because it doesn't tie Morocco to anything. It, you know, it's just that little logo thing that we've been seeing for the last couple of episodes. So mm-hmm. They keep plotting while Doc Green hints that they will have to move to the mainland because he can't get a decent job there. He's got to go find somewhere else. So.
Aww.
Sad face. The kids are not so happy about that. So Cody recruits Blades and Danny to go do some spying, but the Morbot is not accommodating on that. Before the bots and the Morbot can get into a rumble, though, Morocco calls it back. And that inspires Chief to get in Morocco's face because he doesn't own the sky. And, you know, the Morbot's like, yeah.
Those Morbots. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's good because it's like you get this little moment of there's this political manipulation going on.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
Morocco is schmoozing the mayor, and Chief is saying, hey, this isn't good for you know, re-election and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's just like I liked that. I thought for a show, political. That's pretty good for that little manipulation thing going on. So And the rain.
Good old politics.
Yeah. Politics of a small town. Woo-hoo!
Exactly.
So the reign of the Morbot is pretty disturbing. You know, he kicks cars into the landfill. He pulls a tree out of the ground to get a cat out of it. It's like taking a bazooka to pop a balloon. So the kids, they end up snooping around at Morocco's lair, which used to be Frankie and Dockerine's home. And they get the intel that they need to get him fired, you know, i.e., you know, they find the bombs and stuff there. But that's not all, you know, he's selling tech behind the back of Griffin Rock, and he's trying to get, you know, he's trying to sell the tech that they have on the island for money and all that. So like, oh, you know, and when he finds out that he's, you know, the kids are overhearing this, he tries to dispose of the children. In the shuffle, these bombs, you know, we saw in the first episode, they end up getting loose and there's a big explosion. But don't worry, listeners, the kids make it out, but it starts a fire at the warehouse or whatever that they're at, you know, where Frankie and Doc, you know, lived, whatever. And because no one can get a hold of Morocco, the town call the only people that are dependable. They call the Burns and the Rescue Bots.
Yeah, exactly.
You're back on the job. Yay!
Which is a smart thing to do. So yes. I think Blades likes just still being lazy.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I couldn't play couch potato because everybody wanted me to play spy. And then when I interfered, then I had to go back to being a couch potato. And what? You want me to be a rescue person again? What is going on here? But we wrap up this episode, a dramatic escape, as the kids flee Morocco's blimp. They flee in the blimp. It just happens to have the schematics of all the tech that we've seen for the last couple episodes, like the, you know, the shark, the, you know, the submarine shark.
Doesn't have the nano, not the nanites.
The nanites that were in the car.
Yeah, the nanites.
Yeah. And Dinobot being controlled and all that. They have all these schematics on there. So luckily the kids, you know, make a copy of that. And they flee with the Morbot, you know, hot on their tail. So the rescue team shows up and they help to save the day. So Heatwave gets his punches in and the Burns and Bots are hired back on the city council and from
and all's well with the world.
Yeah, all is right with the world. In Morocco, he escapes. So we're like, but that's all right because
Tim Curry. He's always going to escape. He's always going to get away with it. Tim Curry always does.
Yes, it's all in the voice.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that way he can also, you know, come back and fight another day, and they can, you know, hit back on this nice little thread again later on in the season.
Oh, don't spoil it.
Yes, you're going to want to watch the rest of this because he does come back.
Yeah. Bigger and badder. And
yeah. So, I liked it. It was an enjoyable storyline. I really liked having the bad guy of the show. It was really great to, you know, go back and review this one because it's been a while since we reviewed this one.
It's a fun episode. Like I said, Tim Curry's acting ability, you know this guy is sinister. And yes. You're just like, oh, man. Even if you've never, if you didn't even know who he was in real life, you'd be like, this kid's bad.
It's all in the voice. He just plays such a good boy.
Oh, he does. He just... It's awesome. You guys need to go watch this for sure.
Yep. And like I said last week, we have actually reviewed this episode on the Rescue Center. So if you're interested in hearing our full review of it, jump over to theunderbase.libsyn.com and check it out. It's episode 12. We reviewed both the first and the second episode on the same one. And we did that in June of 2012. So you can go and check that out.
Because we're awesome like that.
Yes, we are. We this one is in the bag already.
Yep.
So, okay. So that's a wrap for today. We'll be back possibly in a few weeks' time when we'll wrap up the last couple episodes of Rescue Bots episodes from season one. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Aloha.
Bye. Cool.
Awesome.
Awesome sauce.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Oh.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Some fun when Snubby Gunn plays Private Eye, and you can have the same kind of fun with Mattel's Tommy Burst Detective Set.
The Tommy Burst has automatic bolt action. Fire off a burst of 10 shots. Pull the bolt again, you're reloaded. Or fire single shots like a rifle. The Tommy Burst alone is $3. In the Detective Set, you also get the Snub Nose 38 and Snap Draw Shoulder Holster. The pistol fires greeny stick'em caps and shoots safe shooting shells. The exciting new Tommy Burst Detective Set includes wallet, badge, and ID card. $7 wherever toys are sold. You can tell it's Mattel. It's swell.
That Joe is in trouble.
No, the Cobras are in trouble. That Joe is Sergeant Slaughter.
Don't mess with Sergeant Slaughter. He's as strong as they come. He can take on 100 Cobras and set them on the run.
Meet Sergeant Slaughter and his Triple T tank.
Sergeant Slaughter is now a part of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe. A real American hero.
Live the adventure of G.I. Joe.
And hey, look out, Cobra.
Sergeant Slaughter comes with Triple T tank. Cobra figures and equipment sold separately.
Download RFC's Android app. Go to tfradio.net/android. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
So we are back. So no rewind this week. XV has been lazy. I don't know when we are, what we're doing next week. So actually now XV will probably like withhold.
Oh yeah, he'll definitely punish you for that.
Yeah.
Actually, no, he won't, because he doesn't listen to the show unless he's watching live right now.
Oh, I'll tell him.
Okay. Blackmail.
Don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay.
It's not even blackmail. It's just happening, right?
So the big news this week was that the BotCon 2013 set theme has been revealed, and it is Machine Wars. So rampant speculation on what that meant. Pete Sinclair on AllSpark and Sabertron has commented on it. And I think that we still don't know a lot, but what we know is basically that let's step back real quick. So Machine Wars, for those of you who don't know, we'll actually get into that more in a second, was a 1997 series that was just like one wave of toys that released at KB, that all pre-existing molds, nothing that was designed new, a few things that hadn't been released, but nothing that...
It was like some G2 stuff and some European stuff,
yeah,
I think, wasn't
it? Yeah, it's exactly right. So released KB, awesome stuff, we'll talk about it in a second, but Pete had said that the story was sort of going to be a continuation of Machine Wars, and that it may not necessarily be characters that are in Machine Wars. I think the fiction probably will include the characters that we've seen, but I anticipate not seeing rehashes of the characters, which, you know, honestly makes sense because most of the characters were, you know, boring G1 characters in awesome new bodies and great new colors. What do you guys think about this? I mean, this is unless you're going to something like the Blackthorn comics, it's probably, and they're not going to, it's probably as out there as I think they're going to do for a set. That's not like
out there. It's not out there.
Yeah, I mean,
this is Okay, I'll be the voice of like dissent, and then everybody else can like bring things up.
Let me just say define what I'm saying first. So you know, out there, meaning that G2 is very divisive. Machine Wars is not divisive in so much that it's generally considered a non-entity. And there's not a lot of fans clamoring for it to set you up there. Go ahead, GD.
No, I think, I mean, my thing is that it's kind of, it's a softball on their part, because if they're probably not doing, you know, characters from it, you know, if they're not going to make homage characters, and there's not to say that they won't. You know, I mean, they have there are molds out there to do it, you know, as far as, you know, helicopters and certain things to do, you know, basically different molds of those characters. But if they're saying they're not necessarily even going to do Machine Wars characters, but it's going to be in the Machine Wars universe, well, there is no Machine Wars universe. There is no fiction for Machine Wars. That means they're making it up. And I believe I read somewhere that it's supposed to be in the Wings continuity, which is even a bigger softball, because it's just coming out of, you know, this is the other BotCon fiction line, which is the Wings of Honor line. So, you know, they have Shattered Glass last year, these Wings of Honor this year. So what are we actually getting? What we're actually getting is another Wings of Honor story called Machine Wars, the stuff that they'll just make up to use for that.
So this is what I, as someone who is a Machine Wars fan, I think Machine Wars is great, because it really scratched an itch for the core fans, the people who are like really into Transformers, people who grew up with the stuff back in the 90s. It was something that was, you know, reminiscent of the toys they got, you know, when, you know, in their youth, or when they were younger, or when they first got into Transformers. So it was cool, but it was just like, yeah, it was out there. It was sort of mysterious. People today even still don't really know why Hasbro did it, you know, or the whys or the hows behind it. But it was cool. But it also was kind of a half-hearted effort. But because it was a half-hearted effort, it kind of makes it endearing. So go back and look at Optimus Prime, who's based on Thunderclash. It's kind of hideous. But it's kind of hideous in a way that's kind of like, you know, somebody somewhere was sort of trying, or somebody somewhere was sort of trying. But the thing is, it almost becomes like art. It's kind of like internally consistent. This sort of, you know, we're taking these characters that could sort of kind of be this other character, and we're going to make it into like Optimus Prime, or this one's going to be Prowl, or this one's going to be Mirage. I think if you take that sort of setup and then apply it to other characters who would have been, at the same time frame as those characters, like Bumblebee, you know, we didn't get a Bumblebee from Machine Wars. We didn't get most characters, or a Ratchet, or an Ironhide. And you get, you know, you take a mold that kind of would sort of fit, and you make it. So for like Ratchet or Ironhide, you could take, I don't know, something that like crazy out there, like the Snowcat mold. In the fact that it's kind of boxy. Sure, it's a G.I. Joe vehicle, but you could say, oh, hey, it's Ironhide, and you paint it red. And, you know, I mean, I think that would be kind of neat. I don't know.
Actually, I would think, in keeping with Machine Wars, red is the only color you couldn't paint it.
Yeah, I mean, that...
Mirage is sort of... He's sort of... Where's my... Listen, here's my... Wow, my G1 Mirage is actually on my desk. That's actually really just a coincidence. My Machine War... No, I don't have my Machine Wars Mirage on my desk. But Machine Wars Mirage is vaguely the same color. Prowl is a different, like, completely wrong kind of vehicle. But, you know, he is, well, kind of car, but he is vaguely the same color. Megaplex is vaguely the same color as Megatron. But Optimus Prime is very vaguely the same color. So the color, you know, Starscream is way off, of course. But I don't think, for the most part, they're all just like completely off.
I think for the most part, they are completely off. The ones that do match are the rarity. I mean, Optimus matches and Prowl kind of matches, and Mirage is in the general, is like on the same side of the color wheel.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
otherwise, Soundwave is completely different.
Yeah.
Starscream is completely different. And the thing is, none of that matters because, again, if they're not planning on actually using any of the Machine Wars characters for the toys, what does it matter? They're just going to be different characters that they're just going to say are Machine Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to be taking any of the endearing things that were Machine Wars, which were these really wacky, you know, European molds or, some of the flip change or quick change G2 molds and, you know, hashing them out and saying, okay, they're these other characters. There's no way to recapture that in a BotCon set.
Yeah, I mean, for one thing, you know, the at this price point, there's it's hard to do endearingly goofy almost matches and have people really accept that.
Keep in mind they were released at KB originally.
Okay.
So prices were very high.
At first, yeah. You know, nobody ever paid full price at KB. Nobody.
KB clearance was still like barely retail.
The hell it was. I got the $40 talking Darth Vader figure for $11. No, KB clearance was well below retail, and that's why anybody shopped at KB.
I remember paying like $8 for Prowl, and it had a red sticker on it.
Should have waited longer.
My only worry with it is that for people like me who have only been around in the fandom for the last couple years, I don't have any reason to fall in love with these characters because I don't know anything about Beast Wars. Or not Beast Wars. Machine Wars, sorry.
Well, the thing is...
Cross continuities.
They're kind of like ciphers because they have the same name as the characters that you know and love. They are the characters you know and love. The same, like, motto and... Or generally speaking, I think Optimus Prime is still freedom is the right of all sentient beings. I would have to go back and check. But
I think it does.
But, but the thing is, I mean, you know, the characters they added were like Megaplex, who is a clone of Megatron. And apparently Hubcap is not supposed to be the same G1 Hubcap. And that's it, right? So, I mean, the thing is, that's the thing. They take these boring, generic G1 characters and make them into weird off-model, off-the-wall sort of design. I don't know. I'm the guy that freaking loves... I love G2. I love all these strange things. I love the freaking dubs because they're not... They're sort of counterintuitive to the stuff that you would expect from Transformers.
I totally get that, Brian. But why would you think the FunPub version of Machine Wars is going to be anything close to that?
Because it's a chance. Yeah. It's a chance for Lanny and the guys who are designing stuff to sort of, you know, it's a sandbox. You're not completely just stuck and mired in coming up with, you know, oh well, this is I'm going to try to sleep as best I can fit this character into this mold that we happen to have available to us. It's like, well, we have this mold available to us. Who could this be? Oh, this is now Kickback. Okay, great. How did he become Kickback? Well, let's explain that in the fiction.
I'm still not sure how well this is going to work because, you know, they're going to try to take something that Hasbro did out of basically necessity, which is they have a pile of toys, they have a pile of trademarks. Let's put them together and see and make this exclusive toy line for somebody because, you know, somebody's willing to pay for an exclusive toy line.
Do you think it was a necessity? Do you think that's why they did it? Do you think KB was like, we want an exclusive Transformers toy line? Is that what it was?
I don't know. I mean, they may have come up with this and then shopped it around to try and get, you know, their money out of those molds, or, you know, that somebody may have wanted an exclusive and they may have gone, okay, we can do that.
Was this the same time?
May have been lead time too. I mean, they may have not known whether or not Beast Wars was going to make it. I mean, that was their first foray into Beast Wars. This may have been a backup plan. Yeah, I mean, in the sense they may have had these figures ready to go, as a backup plan in case Beast Wars failed. You know, it's like, okay, if Beast Wars falls flat on its face, then we'll put this line out and we'll go back to making robots. But or Beast Wars off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's total speculation on my part. I have no idea. But so, it feels like a backup plan.
So this was about the same time that KB had that Manimal set, wasn't it? Rob?
You know, probably so. Manimals might have been a little bit earlier, but it's that sounds about right.
So, I mean, which was, okay, so Manimals was Manimal, I saw them, were they they were based on G.I. Joe molds, or they were G.I. Joe molds, or they fit into G.I. Joe fiction or something?
They were like some of the last G.I. Joe figures in that scale that were supposed to come out. They were like what was supposed to follow as Star Brigade. They were, I think, basically new things for the Star Brigade fight. And they showed up in small numbers in Canada and then never showed up here for the longest time. And as, you know, as I've seen so many times since, collectors started paying obscene prices for them. And then they hit KB in pretty good numbers.
Yeah, so it's maybe it was just Hasbro, like JD had said earlier, sort of having something available, and maybe like half an inkling to do it, and now if Hasbro makes something and they can't sell it and they actually make it, it'll usually wind up at someplace like Ross. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember like Ross in those places like being like a center of like buying, you know, unsold or retailed or whatever you want to say toys.
Now that you mention it, I think I've only started seeing sightings at Ross and places like that of right around the time KB went under.
That's interesting.
So I have a feeling that Ross and the discount chains have kind of taken over from KB as that place where the unsaleable toy ideas go to die.
You know, I hate to say this because it's going to make JD happy, but I feel like the floor that I have underneath me is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I want to defend this. I want to love this.
Let me give you credit. I'm totally with you in terms of like I just have no feelings about Machine Wars. Like, I maybe got one thing out of it at the time, if that. I didn't have a KB close, so I didn't get a lot of KB stuff, you know, at the time. But I'm just saying that I think I am not confident in FunPub's ability to translate this line if they're not using those characters in such a way that is going to blow you away.
I agree with that.
I think it's going to be a Wings of Honor thing, and if you like Wings of Honor, that's great because that's what it's going to be. But I don't see how they're going to capture.
I don't want it to be Wings of Honor.
Or, you know, but that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Wings of Honor.
And on my side, on the toys, you know, what I'm looking at is I just think that at the price points for FunPub things, the idea of just finding, you know, molds they have available and turning them into somewhat new versions of somewhat familiar characters that are kind of, you know, not in line with what we think of those characters is not going to be quite as charming at, you know, $300-$400 a set. That's my thought.
Admittedly, half of my fascination with Machine Wars is the fact that it does use those Euro G1 molds, which I love so much.
Now, there's a piece of speculation. What molds are there at the moment that we haven't gotten here or that haven't really been used very much? You know, what could they use that would make for interesting figures for this set?
Non-film
movie characters.
That's a great point. Because that's a great question. Because did we ever expect them to get that big convoy mold for the subscription set? No. So it is possible they could go out and get some sort of mold that we haven't gotten before, and then do something crazy with it, something that we wouldn't expect. That was really the core of what Machine Wars was to me, was those, I mean, you know, that Skyquake mold and the Stalker mold. I love those things. The Rotor Storm mold.
Yeah.
The only mold I can think of in the modern lines that we haven't seen here, you know, and almost did that I'd like to see used is the Reveal the Shield Rumble / Frenzy mold. Oh. I'd like, you know, if they could do something with that, that'd be nice. But
I think
that's the only mold I can think of off the top of my head that did not get here that could, you know, that they could put in this line as something new. But something along those lines is what I'd like to see them do with this. Take things that we haven't gotten or we didn't get much of and do something new.
I mean, there are lots of molds that we didn't get or I don't think we got. I mean, we didn't get like the Colorado mold, did we? Did we ever get that?
Oh, you're going way back, sir.
Yeah, but that's contemporary with Big Convoy.
So, yeah, but that has nothing to do with Machine Wars.
No. So if we're talking about but something like that, it could be like it's Machine Wars version 2. So if it's something like that, we could say it'd be like Quick Strike. So if we wanted to go back to something Beast Wars, because we don't know how they're going to attack this problem. We don't know the specifics on what this is going to be like. So if they're approaching, we don't know how they're approaching it. I'm just throwing that.
I don't see them going back to animal stuff. I mean, it just
probably
I just
not.
You don't see it, not for a BotCon set anyway,
and not specifically for Machine Wars.
And it wouldn't just be. I mean, I'm not saying they're all animals. I'm just saying that one specifically. But gosh, I mean, there's years of like Unicron Trilogy stuff that's all vehicles that they could go back to. It's just what's available is the question,
right?
Or heck, I guess I could even go back to, oh God, I don't want them to reuse any of the RID molds.
No.
I don't want them to reuse any of the RID molds. I really don't.
In fact, some of the RID molds are these molds.
Yeah.
Are Machine Wars molds. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Well, so. in the U.S.
Yeah.
They weren't in Japan. actually, they could go back to Beast Machines. That Jetstorm mold hasn't been used in forever, since Universe, I don't think, and it's still a decent mold. Or, you know, like my favorite mold ever, one of my favorite molds ever was Scavenger from Beast Machines. They could go back if they still have that and use that. Anything crossing your mind, Amy, from the fiction perspective, I mean, this is so up in the air and nebulous that...
It is. I mean, it's really up in the air. Anything can happen. I know that Josh Bertram has been bucking to do some Machine Wars for a while, and so I get the feeling that they have been talking with him just because of his Twitter. He said that they might have been talking. I don't know if it was his or if it was BotCon's, but I did mention it. I said, hey, get Josh Bertram on this right away, and they've been talking. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll see how that goes, because if he was to, I would be very happy if I found out he was drawing it. I would definitely buy the comic. I'm not really hopeful about the writing, but I would definitely get that art because I know Josh would do it right. That being said, I'm like, I don't know. They could surprise us and actually get somebody that knows how to write it. And then that would be really cool. But, you know, considering some of the past stuff, I have liked some of the Wings of Honor stories. Not all of them, but I did like the one that they had with Cup. I wasn't very fond of Timelines this last year. I didn't think it was that great. I could give opinions on that. But I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air. I'd like to hope that it will be really good, but reality sets in and I realize that whatever happens is going to be, oh, I'll just, you know, I don't know what to think. I don't know. It has nothing attached to it. So again, it comes back to the, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be interested in getting this. If anybody is in my situation where they're new and they don't know much about Machine Wars, I'm worried that it'll just only be something that like fans of everything that will get it. I don't know. Cause I don't know what I think about it. I don't know what to find out with it. Yes, child.
So, okay. So, Don suggested Red Prime as Machine Wars Prime. And as much as I don't like Robots in Disguise molds, I mean, that could be kind of cool.
I mean, it's currently out, but that's not really held them back before, where I think we were talking on Superhero Time. I can't remember who said it. May have been Paladin or XV, but we were saying that like the Prime Ultra Magnus would probably make a pretty good Machine Wars Prime.
Yes, it would. Actually.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's see here. So there was the motorcycle drone. That was a great mold. That was a freaking awesome mold. And you know who it should be? Just Thrust. I mean, that's who Thrust.
You know, there's something I was just reading that Pete Sinclair said something about saying it was machine wars and that these are war machines. It doesn't make me wonder that they aren't going to use some unused, non-film Dark of the Moon with the Metrotech, the gun add-on kind of stuff. Yeah, the mech tech stuff.
Then screw that.
But that would make sense, in that respect.
In terms of the machine wars as war machines things, what do you think about some of the smaller Human Alliance molds, in fact?
Yeah, that's possible as well.
You know, I'm going to throw this out there, but don't catch it if you don't like it. Okay. So we know that the Energon Bruticus mold is still available. And
okay.
We know that's still available and that's still out there. Those are war machines. And yeah. Bruticus has been very popular for Hasbro this past year. And people love that. And we've never had a transforming actual BotCon set. That could be it. I don't expect that to happen. But
actually, what I suggested this on Superhero Time as well, that what they really ought to do is they ought to get some of the third-party figures and steal those and use them as their set and then just be like, what? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, do you, like, Take the one of the figures out of the Superion set and make that like Starscream or something.
Yeah.
Just be like, yeah, we used it. What are you gonna do about it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I think I'm just going to let that one just stop right there.
Sit there and lie right there. Yeah.
I don't the speculation on the podcast has been far less excited than I was.
I'm sorry, I brought it down.
No, I think you brought it to reality because I have an unrealistic expectation. I think. Out of
I mean, I you know what? I'm going to hold out hope, and if we even bring it down, I'll bring it up at the end, which is like you know, I none of us know what they're going to do, and you know, sometimes they really surprise us. I mean, the G2 set I thought was really nice. You know, sometimes they take something that doesn't sound like it's going to be great, and they make it great. So. I'll hold out. I mean, I have my initial reservations, but who knows until we actually see the set, what it's going to be, or we see some pieces of it. And we're going to see it. I mean, it's coming up. So, you know, and that's kind of the cool thing is we're not going to have to wait to BotCon to know what it's going to be. We get to see it ahead of time now.
Well, we have to wait to BotCon to actually read the comics. So,
I think it's
good because I saw last year and I thought, oh, it looks great. Josh Burcham was also on that. Well, and Josh Perez, I think. No, Josh Perez was not Josh Burcham. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm willing to hope for the best, but expect the worst.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the mode that we've been in, you know, now. And I don't think that I would hope that FunPub wouldn't, you know, hold it against us for doing that, you know, and that's not to say that we're just kind of at this tentative stage where it's like last year the add-on sets, you know, far outshined the actual set. So, I mean, and that's another possibility. It may be that the add-on sets again are way better, but you know, I will hold out hope that it'll turn out to be really cool once we kind of see what they're doing, because I think at this point it's just so up in the air. I mean, there's so many possibilities. Until we get an idea of their direction, it'll be hard to say.
So, Pete, if you're watching right now in the chat, people are saying that the 2014 set needs to be GoBots, and you could basically reuse all of the Generations molds.
God, that would be kind of fun, though, wouldn't it? I mean, and it's not like Hasbro doesn't have rights to it.
They own it.
They own it.
The secret mold is Leader One. Somehow use Retgar or something else as Psykill, you know. Do that.
Drift
right now.
Is turbo? That'd be cool.
God.
I love that.
Good times.
I love that. Okay. That's it. No more show. The end.
All right.
Okay.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.